AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. And this is a live radio show you're listening to, so we could mess up and end our careers just by simply uttering something. Tim here with my guest in studio, Tony. My colleagues, Tony, hey. Fred, and Chris. And again, we thank you for listening. Well, spammers and scammers are everywhere today, and we've all seen it or experienced it or been some cases, sadly, been victims of scams. And we're going to talk to a gentleman today who's in studio with us, our friend Ed Holliday. Yes, he's been called Doc his whole life, and he knows why.
I saw Jonathan trying to get his autograph. Jonathan Coker.
And he's not going to be your Huckleberry. Okay. Ed's a native of Tupelo. He was in the dentist profession for a long time. Still are. Mm-hmm. And a friend of ours wrote a book about a terrible experience that he had to go through. He went through. Was that earlier this year? That was earlier this year.
It was Valentine's 2025. Earlier this year.
Okay. Yes. By the way, if you're wondering, Ed talks like us. So
God bless
him. Except for Fred.
I'm trying to learn how to talk like Fred.
Fred, maybe a little Nova Scotia accent coming your way. But all right, Ed, your book is titled Crypto Conned and My 200K Nightmare. And I talked to you about this a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about you coming on the radio to tell your story to warn other people. Maybe not necessarily about crypto theft, although that's what your experience was, cryptocurrency theft, but also just how scammers work with social engineering and so forth and so on. So start with this. How'd you get involved in the cryptocurrency world first?
Well, I've been involved for about 8 years.
It's okay.
It wasn't anything new to me, and I thought I was very secure doing things, had been doing things in a very secure way for about 8 years.
Okay.
And so we did
pretty well at it?
I did okay.
Yeah.
You know, when I mentioned my book, a couple of things it helped out with, have cryptocurrencies. You have different wallets you can put them in. I had things in different wallets.
All right, what happened here? How'd you get conned? Tell us about this story here.
Yeah, very important for people to understand, and that's why I'm here, because I want to help people, because I don't want what happened to me to happen anywhere else. It was one of the most devastating things that happened in my life, but it started just a normal day. I wasn't at work.
This is back in February.
It's back in February on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And I was actually getting taxes ready for 2024 taxes, to get it ready, to get to my accountant, and I got a phone call. And, you know, I looked at my cell phone, said Google.
It said Google?
It did say Google was calling me. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, I know it's not Google. But I answered, and that was the number one mistake. I just answered it. I shouldn't have. But they said they were Google, and they said they had frozen my account because someone was trying to get into my Google account, and they just wanted to make sure I was safe. And I told them I didn't believe they were Google. And they tried to explain the word, and they sent me emails, and I spent about 30 minutes.
You mean to prove that they were?
Yeah.
They're trying to prove to you, convince you.
Trying to convince me, and I spent about 30 minutes back and forth with emails, and then they finally said, look, if we sent you, you know, you got your phone, if we sent you a message on the YouTube app, would that make you feel better? I said, well, I knew Google owns YouTube, and I had gotten messages. You know, sometimes Google will tell you, hey, you know, check your YouTube app. I mean, that's happened when I worked with Google getting something. So I thought, yeah, that'd make me feel better. And sure enough, a message came in on YouTube app saying, is this you? And then having three numbers, you had to pick a number, and they told me what number to pick. they were just scammers. But they just wanted to get in.
But you didn't know it at the time.
No, I didn't know it. You know, I mean, everything seemed very legit. What were they
supposedly trying to help you?
Well, they said someone
prevent you from doing.
Well, they said someone was attacking my account.
Okay.
They were
trying to help you keep that from happening.
Yeah, they were trying. They said someone was trying to get into my Google account.
Okay.
And they wanted just to make sure that I was safe. And they said,
okay,
let's get you a temporary password.
Okay.
So
to review, and you guys jump in here when you want to. So to review, you shouldn't have ever answered the phone call in the first place.
Right. I didn't know who it was.
I'm not trying to make you relive your.
No. You're going to give me trauma, Tim.
I know. But you shouldn't have. Rule number one, don't answer a phone from somebody you don't know. But number two, they pulled you along here.
Yes.
This is pretty sophisticated. They call this social engineering, don't they?
That's what they call it.
And you're alone. By that, I mean, you're not consulting with anybody as you go through this process. Is this all happening in a matter of hours?
This happened in, you know, about 30 minutes. And then finally, when I agreed to say, let's get a temporary password, and that's all they wanted to do, they said, you're safe now. I said, that's all I need to do. And I said, yeah, so you hang up. So I hung up. And that was all, you know, when I thought,
you thought the problem was taken care of at that point?
Yeah, the problem was taken care of.
All right, what happened then?
About an hour later, I get a phone call from, because I have cryptocurrency and it's on what they call a crypto exchange. Coinbase is one of the biggest ones in the
world. I've heard of that, yeah.
And Coinbase, one of their mottos is, we will never call you.
Right.
But about an hour later, I got a phone call. They said, we're from, and it said Coinbase on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, my cell phone said Coinbase, and it said, we are the Coinbase asset security protection. And they said someone is trying to remove 1,999 Chainlink tokens. That's a cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. a token. And I knew that was like, it was worth $38,000. And that scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they do the social engineering, Tim. For people, and you look back at most scams, they put fear in your life.
Yeah.
And they know it works. Now, I'm a dentist, and I know sometimes I deal with epinephrine, and we put in anesthetics to keep it lasting longer. But when you get fear, it's what they call the fight or flight mechanism. Everybody's heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way God made our bodies, fight or flight. You got to do something. And when you do, the epinephrine kicks in.
A chemical in your body?
Your brain, your body makes the epinephrine naturally so that you can run if you got to outrun a lion or a bear or a tiger or something. Or you fight. But, you know, for us now, when that hits us, it does minimize your ability to do rational thinking. It shuts down because you can go in that fight or flight mechanism. Your brain shuts down the rational thinking on the frontal cortex.
Especially when you're isolated.
And you're isolated, not talking to anybody. And, you know, I was sitting there on the phone, and they said someone was trying to remove my, and they knew, this is what got me, is that they knew the exact number. Now, looking back, for people when Google called me, they got into my account, the scammers got in, they knew exactly how many tokens I had. I didn't think anybody would know that, but Coinbase.
Mm-hmm.
But when they told me, they knew exactly. But even then, I still didn't believe them. I said, I don't really believe you are. And I spent, about 30 to 45 minutes getting Coinbase to convince me. These scammers.
Right.
Who were posing as Coinbase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were posing. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to say that, you know, now I know they were scammers. But they sent me emails. And they tell me, you go to any email that you have sent to Coinbase and just... you know, use that email and do a reply to that. And
step by step, you're giving them everything they want.
Everything. And then,
aren't you?
And then that's why I detail.
Aren't you, Mr. Holiday?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
like a prosecutor.
Yeah. Right. I'm sweating now.
Okay. Hey, we'll pause right here. We'll get back into the story in just a minute. Tell us about your book. And it's really a short book that you can read it in an hour.
Yeah.
But it's how can people...
this is to me, it's got so much wisdom packed in there because it's up to date. It's about social engineering, like we talked about. It tells the detailed story. I'll go deep into detail, just exactly what happened. You can go to cryptocondbook.com, cryptocondbook.com. And I got more information there on it.
I got PTSD just reading it.
Yeah. Well, and that's where it's, you know, it's a shocker because people don't, it says in the title, if you didn't pick it up, my 200K nightmare, before it's over with, I lost $200,000. And the reason I wrote the book, because I had to bring in a guy to help clean up computers. And he said, Ed, I know you're a good writer. You need to write a book. Because he said, I know so many people get scammed and they're full of guilt and full of shame. They don't want anybody to know. And he said, if you'll just write what happened to you, you'll help a lot of people.
So what's the name of it and where to get it?
CryptoCon, my 200K nightmare, and 10 key steps to safeguard your future. You go to CryptoConBook.com. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get the e-versions there, or you can go to the website at CryptoConBook.com.
Yeah, we're talking Ed Holliday, Holliday. Tony, go ahead.
So Ed, at this point, are they trying to get you to transfer crypto from one wallet to another? Is that what this ended?
Basically, what it is, what they did again to make me feel better, you know, again after they emailed me all this stuff and convinced me that they were who they said they were, which they were scammers, they were liars, and again, my mind's not thinking rationally because I'm thinking, going back to Proverbs, you know, pride coming before a fall. I knew I had $38,000, and they telling me somebody was trying to take it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, I had more than that in there, and what you just asked, Tony, was the fact that they said, we don't want you to move it off Coinbase. Mm-hmm. We want you to move it from the exchange to a Coinbase wallet. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, my bright mind, I just said, hey, I don't have one. So, we'll help you set one up.
Oh, man.
That's what that's what we're here for, is to help.
Yeah.
That's why we're guard, you know, we got to secure those assets.
Let me ask you this. So, how long did all this take to do?
Well, when the fake people calling and saying, you know, Coinbase, it was about an hour by the time I went through everything. And
so, you lost that whole amount in an hour?
About an hour and a half by the time.
And you realized, and then you realized what had happened?
Well, what was happening was when I was transferring, again, the scammers were using me to rob myself. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I was just giving them everything they wanted. And this is the sad part, and I put it in the book for, you know, people need to read the book because it goes in detail what to be aware of. But one of the things, and if it's a horror movie, and you say, oh, don't go in that room. Well, I went in the room where the monster was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said, we're having trouble, getting this transferred. And you know, if you want us to help you quicker, you know, if we need, you know, if you'll just put in this, app, you know, download this, then we can see your screen. And that was the thing I didn't know was going on because I just thought they were helping when they. But when I allowed them to see my screen, they were in my computer. And these wallets that I thought were secure, when they were talking to me, and I figured it had to be a team. I don't know how it all works. But as they were talking to me about moving my coins off the exchange to this other place, which was about, maybe $50,000, $60,000,
mm-hmm.
I had seven or eight wallets in this computer. I used this computer. I thought it was secure. I wouldn't use it for anything but my cryptocurrency. I only pulled it out for cryptocurrency. And but they had what they call a turbo app where it sucked out all my information in my computer, spit everything out, and kept the passwords and my wallets. And they were going in my wallets and wiping my wallets out. I had no clue what they were doing that when they were talking to me about this one thing. And by the time I started figuring it out, I didn't see some assets. So when I said, hey, where's this Bitcoin? I don't see it now. And they said, oh, it takes 24 hours to show up. But I knew it wasn't right.
Right.
And then that's when I realized, and they knew they hung up.
Did you, how'd you deal with this? Because this has all happened. Do you call the FBI at this point?
Well,
how do you deal with something like this?
When it happens, of course, it's devastating. And I mean, I've just, I felt about as bad as I've ever felt in my life. Cause you know, I mean, you know, $200,000, you know, how much could I give the American Family Association? How much I could give the groups and things right. that, you know, I wanted to be able to do. And so, I mean, you feel with guilt, you know, cause I mean, I did it. I mean, I did it. I mean, I was scammed and they, you know, the scammer stole it from me, but I didn't know what to do. And I had to go out and walk, and I knew my wife said, well, you need to call. And I had to tell her first. That was not easy, but she took it very well. I got a great Christian wife. And so, but she said, we got to call somebody, but my mind could not think. And she didn't know anything about cryptocurrencies, but I knew I knew I needed to talk to somebody. And then, but I did get a hold of some people that helped me figure out, you know, hey, you know, shut your computer down, you know, get off Wi-Fi. Yeah. Once they're in the computer, she said, you know, you got to get off the internet.
Right.
You know, get, you know, any computer you use, just get it off, get off the internet. And then they got a hold of, and they told me, you know, the basically what I had to do the next day, computer guy here in town that I knew of, he helped me get my computer cleaned up, got everything, get off the internet. Basically, I went and bought a little cheap computer, a new computer, a whole new computer, so I could work on the internet.
But you knew at that time that that was gone.
Yeah, because, and he told me, and I know, because they got something called a tornado app, and when the scammers use it, like if you have $1,000 of Bitcoin, they put it through that tornado app, and it divides it up in 1,000 little pieces, right. So it's hard, you know. If the government really wanted to, they could, but then I can worry about $200,000.
Yeah, because if they transferred the whole amount from a large amount from one wallet to the other, the way cryptocurrency works is you would be able to see right. what wallet that it was transferred to, and then you may be able to derive some information as to where it's at. But yeah,
they go back and get that, and then you get all the information. But when they put in that tornado app,
it splits it up and you'll never get it back.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Our guest in studio is Ed Holliday. Ed is talking about a nightmare that he went through last February, where he was conned out of $200,000. And he wrote a book about it to warn other people. It's more than just about crypto. It's about warning how to avoid being scammed.
If you have an online banking account, you got any assets, whatever, they're coming after them. The scammers want it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Tony? I know you. This is your field of study for a lot of times. That is internet technology, which is not exactly the same as cybersecurity.
Right.
But at the same time, every day you read about data breaches that are taking place here and all over the world, where the information for all people is just out there on the internet, phone numbers, emails, social security numbers now are out there everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you suggest you do?
Yeah, you have to be very protective. So almost when you're dealing with anything online, you almost need to be paranoid. So if you don't recognize a phone number, you just don't answer it. If it is someone who, a company or your bank or whatever, who really needs to get in touch with you, they'll get to you. So you need to be paranoid and not answer. Just don't answer numbers you don't recognize.
Period.
Period. And because they can also mask themselves. So what they did to Ed is they spoofed themselves as Google.
What does spoof mean for those?
Well,
who don't know?
So you mask your phone number,
okay,
and the identity of your phone number, and you basically the information you're sending when you call someone they'll mask it so that when it pops up on your phone it says Google, or when it pops up on your phone it says Coinbase. So the philosophy I have and that I recommend to most people is just don't answer the phone if you get a call from a number you don't recognize. Second of all, data breaches are going to happen. So everybody's information here and listening, I hate to say it, at some point your information is going to get breached. Your email address is going to get breached. Maybe not your password, which is what I'm guessing is, if I had to guess, and I don't know, Ed, you may have had someone do some more digging on how this started, but if I had to guess, Ed's information was out there from a previous data breach, an email address, and a phone number. They didn't have your password, so what they needed to do was try and contact you directly and gain access to more of that information. So your data is going to get breached. You just need to make sure that you secure your accounts to the recommended levels. So two-factor authentication can be annoying. I know folks, that's that code that you'll get to your phone, texted to your phone, or mm-hmm. if you have a separate authentication app. I know it's annoying trying to log into your account. You put your password in, your super secure password, and then you got to do something else. I know it's annoying, but it's there to protect you as an added level, because that really does ensure that if your password was to get hacked, or if you did divulge it, you know, by accident, or you were, tricked into doing it, then there's an extra level there that the bad actor couldn't get into your account without that secondary code. So taking those precautions, you just got to be.
Nowadays, you have to physically secure your phone or whatever, a computer. But most people, yeah. I know a person, a relative of mine recently, they were in New Orleans for a convention mm-hmm. and had their phone stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly how it happened without that four. You know how you have to have a code. Most of us use codes to get into our phone.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
But some way or another, they were able to get into the phone while the code was not. This person did have a code, but it was like
maybe grabbed the phone before.
Well,
it locked,
I think he left it in his backpack, went to the restroom, which was 10 steps away, mm. at a restaurant in a nice part of town. But somebody was watching,
mm-hmm.
and it was probably a couple people watching. So when he went to the restroom, of course, he shouldn't have left the phone, but he did, because he didn't think anything of it. You know, right. When you're 10 yeah. feet away
yeah.
from the restroom in a nice part of town, and just, you know, and boom, the mm-hmm. phone's gone. Lost several thousand dollars mm-hmm. through a bank account. So what I'm saying is.
Yeah,
I hate to bring up another thing to be worried about, but you better keep your phone secured at all time. Don't just, especially when you're leaving it where you're out in crowds and things of that nature. It's just like pickpockets.
Yeah,
you know. Go ahead.
And Tim, ahead. What Tony said, and one of the things I found out, and it's so easy. What's prevalent is the spoof emails,
mm-hmm.
and people have to really of AI now. They'll yeah. look just yeah. like I said, they make their emails look just yes. like the real ones.
Go ahead, Chris.
Something I've noticed in the last couple of days, and other people have mentioned this as well, perhaps on the show, now I'm getting text messages from people, and it's like the scammer is trying to pass themselves as somebody you know. It's like, hey, how's your day going? Or
yeah.
I forgot to tell you something last night. And they want you to be.
They want you to say, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then they know they have a live phone number,
right.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a scary world out there.
I got things this week from Canada. I Googled the number and found out it's somebody in, you know, some part of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had people tell me they got texts from me I didn't send.
So, but that's
spoofing yeah. you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
but I guess the one of the safe practices I found out is we get so many emails, but if somebody asks you for money or saying you owe.
Well, click on this link.
Yeah, you click on it, but you don't ever click on links. You can go to your bank and go in
yeah.
and
yeah,
log in.
Yeah, if you get something about your credit card, yeah, go to the company directly. If you get an email from your bank or a text from your bank,
that's right.
call them
call
directly.
Them. Yeah.
Do not click a link.
That's what we tell our employees here, even at AFA, is if you get an email or a text message from somebody and something about it just doesn't seem right, you know, just call them. Just pick up the phone and say, hey, did you send me this?
I've done that mm-hmm. several times.
So it's just.
So we've had, and people, businesses have this every day, all day, all over the country, all around the world, really. We've had people try to give us fake invoices.
Yeah, I know my dentist office, you know, they'll get calls or we get emails saying, oh, you owe this.
Yeah.
You know, you owe this phone company, you owe this. And it's all scams. So much you have to be looking out
for. Well, they can make them with AI. They can make them look so real. It's like we've had at least a couple, not many, but we've had a couple of attempts at fake invoices. But that's a big deal around the world.
Yeah.
So the book is named what? And where do you get it, Ed?
Crypto Conned, My 200K Nightmare. You go to CryptoConnedBook.com.
C-O-N-N-E-D.
Yes.
I'm translating your Southern English for people in Oregon
Thank you, Tim.
CryptoCon, C-O-N-N-E-D, dot...
Book.com.
Book.com by our guest, Dr. Ed Holliday, H-O-L-L-I-D-A-Y. We're sorry you went through this, brother, but the Lord saw you through it.
Yep.
And
I'm alive and well, but all those have been scammed. Life is good afterwards when you put your faith in the Lord.
Amen. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.